God is good, amen. I was so pleased as I was seeing the sanctuary fill up, and then I figured it out. Football game at noon. Am I right? So you're here early so you can get home in time to watch the Vikings. Am I right? Turn on the fans. I'm getting hot up here. Oh, it's such a good day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? God has been so good to us. Before I pray, I just want to call your attention to the prayer focus. There's a lot of names on there. And I would just encourage you, take that, put it in your Bible, and open it, your Bible, each day in your prayer focus and pray. They would surely appreciate it. There's a lot of names on there, but not too many for the Lord. And so please remember those folks in prayer. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this good day. This is a day that you have made, and as the psalmist said, we say also we will rejoice and be glad in this day. We will rejoice this morning because of you, O God, and your love for us. We will rejoice because of you sending your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for my sin, for ours. We will rejoice because we can come together like this and praise and worship you. We will rejoice, O God, because your word will go forth. Your word says it, that it will not return void. And in churches and in gatherings and over the radio and over TV broadcasts this morning, your word will go forth. And you said, O God, it will not return void. And I pray today for revival in America. I pray for salvation. I pray for revival. I pray, oh God, for the names on the prayer focus. Oh, there's a lot of them, Lord. Our friends, our family, our neighbors. And we lift them up to you, Father, this morning and ask, thy will be done. Some are struggling in tremendous ways. Pain, finances, death is knocking on the door. And I pray, oh God, that your will would be done in each and every of one of those names on the prayer focus and all the rest of us, that your will would be done and that you would be glorified, oh God. We are not here because of a denomination, we do not gather because of pastors, priests, or deacons, or anything else. We gather and worship you, O God. And we are here today to worship you, to continue to worship you, and to hear from you. Speak to our ears, to our hearts, to our very soul today, O God, I pray. Thank you for everyone here. Thank you for every church gathering all over our region. Bless them. Guide them by your Spirit and be glorified in each and every gathering, I pray. Be glorified here, we pray. Lead us now by your Spirit, I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Before I jump into Scripture, and it's Scripture that you know, you've seen it before, but I thought it was appropriate today, let me say a couple things. First of all, thank you. Thank you so much to all of you for your birthday cards to me and letters and notes and gifts. I just really, really am a blessed person. Thank you very much for your kindness. And it was good to hear from our children, wasn't it? And I'm hoping that our teachers will gather up a few more and some more of those children will come and sing to us. And I know they're probably gone to their children's church already, but I just want to say thank you to them. This week, as you've already heard, starts Awana, our Awana year. Susie indicated to us last week. Please be in prayer about that. And if you would be willing to contribute to your time or listening or whatever else, please see one of the leaders about that. It's going to be a good year. I just know that it is. And before I look at Luke 15, if you got your Bibles, that's where we're going to, Luke 15. I want to say that I have been encouraged this week as I have sat down with a number of people and we have talked about your walk with Jesus. We've been talking for months about following Jesus, the words of Jesus, follow me. And I have been encouraged this week tremendously when I have sat down with several people that they have been listening to the Spirit of God and they have taken their walk with Jesus to a new level. I have been encouraged about that. I say praise and glory to God. And so Luke 15, well, the first thing you probably think of when you think of Luke 15 is the prodigal son, because that's in Luke 15. And I'm not going to the prodigal, but I am going to Luke 15. If you've got your Bibles, I want to spend our time there. It goes along with what I've been talking about, what Charles has been talking about. Even as Pastor Salek was here, and he talked about us being Spirit-led in everyday living. It all goes together because it's from the Word of God. And this directive, this invitation of Jesus when he said, follow me. And so in Luke 15, we see the setting. Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him, that's Jesus, to hear him. Now, Jesus was thinking, this is very good, because he's got their attention, and they're listening, they're curious, they want to know more. And so in Luke 15, we see, then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him. However, the Bible says the Pharisees and the scribes complained. If you have an NIV, your Bible says they muttered. The Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, this man, that's Jesus, receives sinners and eats with them. They complained about that. They were angry about that. They were disgusted about that. And the Bible says, so he spoke this parable to them. Now, before I go into that story, let me call our attention personally to this for a moment. In our following Jesus, may we, in the church who claim the name of Jesus Christ, be as open to welcoming conversation, dialogue, eating with sinners as Jesus was. Now, I know we get the attitude sometimes. I've been there, perhaps still am guilty of it from time to time. I don't want nothing to do with them nasty rascals. That's the attitude of the Pharisees and the scribes. That's why we have three parables. May we, as followers of Jesus, be as open to dialogue and conversation and even eating a meal as he did with sinners as we follow Jesus. And may we, as followers of Jesus, be as open to this kind of dialogue that I know he had with them in inviting them unto himself and sharing of our stories with all kinds of people who are all kinds of different than we are. Now listen to me, friends. If we in the church who claim the name of Christ, who claim we are his follower, If we in the church have the same attitude as those religious folks, who's going to tell the sinners about Jesus? If we've got that attitude, disgusted, he's talking with tax collectors and sinners. Then who's going to tell them? If that's the attitude of the church, the Pharisees and the scribes were the churchgoers of the day. And they were disgusted that this teacher, this rabbi, would speak with those nasty folks. They were disgusted about that. That's why he said what he said in the next three parables. We only have time for one today. If our attitude towards the lost is like that, we got the wrong attitude. We're not following Jesus like he's invited us to follow if we've got that kind of attitude. I've said this over and over and over in this journey. To follow Jesus means to love like Jesus. The unlovely, lovely, the neighbor, the enemy. To follow Jesus in this day and in our day is to love like Jesus. I think you've probably all been very aware that we in America are living in unprecedented times of hatred. Have you noticed? Man, it's scary. We hate each other anymore in America. It might be because of a political persuasion. It might be because of denominational affiliation. It might be because of my skin color or somebody else's skin color. It might be because of somebody's sexual orientation. It might be because they put on a uniform or something. But we hate each other anymore in America. And I'm simply telling us this should not be so among followers of Jesus. To follow Jesus is to love like Jesus. In response to their disgust, in response to their narrow-mindedness, which we might be guilty of that some days, in response to their unwillingness to dialogue with these tax collector types, Jesus then embarks on three stories. The lost sheep that we're going to look at now. The lost coin, which we don't have time to, but you can read that if you never have. And the lost son, we call it the prodigal. In response to their unwillingness to dialogue with sinners, he gives us three stories. Verse 4. What man of you, he's talking to those now that were disgusted that he would eat with tax collectors, harlots, sinners of all kinds. And he says to them, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if you lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? Which one of you, he's asking them. In reality, you've got this flock. You've taken care of it. You've nurtured it. But one has slipped away. Which one of you, Pharisees, scribes, and church folks, if you had one that went missing, wouldn't look over the mountains, over the valleys, through the streams, in the woods, until you have found it? Which one of you would not do that? And when he has found it, Jesus said. He lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home with the sheep on his shoulders, he calls together his friends and his neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me. Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." Then he says, then he makes it very personal. This story started out about sheep, but it's not about sheep no more. I say to you, Pharisees and scribes who have this nasty attitude that will not even give the time of day to the tax collector, the harlot, and the sinner, I say to you, Church of 21st century America, there will be more rejoicing in heaven. There will be more joy in heaven over one sinner. One sinner, a tax collector, a harlot, a sinner of whatever nature they were in that time and ours. He says to him, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than those 99 just persons who did not need no repentance. He says, I tell you, there'll be more joy over that one than the 99 that are in the fold. He's not talking about sheep no more. He's talking about tax collectors and sinners. He's talking about us. You know what I think Jesus is saying here as much as anything else that the church doesn't oftentimes understand? I care about these people. Are you hearing me this morning? I think Jesus is telling us, me at least, the Pharisees and the scribes who are disgusted that he even had the time of day for them, I think he's trying to tell us loud and clear, I care about these people. I think he's trying to tell the scribes and Pharisees and us in the 21st century church, I will die for these people. In this parable, Jesus is saying, I'm willing to leave the 99. My New King James Version says, to the wilderness. I'm willing to leave them to the elements in search of that one that is lost. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking Jesus is trying to tell them, everybody is important to me. Everyone is worth dying for. I believe we see in this story as much as anything the very heart of the gospel, where God in his grace and his willingness to send his son is looking for, he's searching for, he's going over mountain and under and through valleys. He's longing to find the lostness of people and draw them unto himself. I believe this is a story about the grace of God, not willing that any should perish, but that all might have a chance to come to know Jesus. And if finding the lost sheep wasn't enough, he threw a party. He invited his friends, he invited his neighbors, come over and celebrate with me, because this person who was lost, who was on the broad road that leads to destruction, who was hell-bound, is now headed for glory. Let's celebrate that, he said. In this story, 99 were apparently already safe, but one was away. And Jesus is telling those scribes and Pharisees, yeah, I'm going to have lunch with them. I'm going to talk with them. I'm going to dialogue with them. I'm going to tell them about who I am. Jesus is telling these people that we'll have no time for them. Yes, I am willing to talk to them, have lunch with sinners, because it's these people for whom I came to earth to die for. Hallelujah. Heaven, you saw in verse 7. And if you read, you got your Bible open and read on to verse 10. Heaven rejoices when sinners repent and come to Christ. Do we in the church? Heaven rejoices about that. One snatched from the throes of hell, snatched from the wrath of God on the broad road that they were, reversed completely to the narrow road that leads to life. Heaven rejoices over that. Wish I had a little more time. I got a little, but I don't have enough. Do you get the point here today, brothers and sisters? Do you see what Jesus is saying to the Pharisees and scribes and their attitude that says, I am disgusted by their behavior? You know what? God was disgusted by mine and yours too at one time. In our BC years, God was disgusted with me and you also. Until that time, we repented and come to faith and surrendered to the Son of God. We were just as disgusting as they were. Lest we think we're all that. I want to make 2 points and end with a little story. God is looking for you if you're still lost. Sitting in church doesn't make you found. Church membership doesn't either. Until we have repented of sin. I went through all this a while back in our Follow Me series. Repent, believe, and receive. I need to repent of my sin. Believe the Lord Jesus Christ is real, is who He said He was, the Son of God. He came to die for sinners, and receive Him by faith and start walking with Jesus. You must be born again, He said. And so I'm here to tell you, number one, God is looking for you. If you haven't been born again, He is in the search process. You see, He knows your heart, as He knew mine for a lot of years. There was contrary to His will and on the broad road that led to destruction. God is looking for you. I would suspect even some here today. Why? He loves you. And He's not willing that any people should go to hell. And He has sent His Son to die for us, and He sent His Spirit to beckon us, come to listen to the words of Jesus, follow me. He has sent His Spirit to work on our hearts, and we can say no about so long, and pretty quick we'll get hard-hearted and just ignore it all. But God is looking for people today. Some of them are sitting in the church houses. Some of them never get to church, and some of them are sitting in church houses that haven't been born again. And I simply ask you, and I will give you another chance in a few minutes, are you ready to come to the fold in the safety of the fold of Jesus? And point two, followers, do we care about tax collectors and sinners? Do we care about their eternal destination? The Pharisees, well, first of all, Jesus was speaking to all of them because the Pharisees weren't right with Him either. But Jesus was saying to the Pharisees, don't let your religion get in the way. I came to die for humanity. And some of that humanity in the 21st century is pedophiles. Some of that 21st century is liars and thieves, adulterers, fornicators, murderers. But I came to die for them. And I'm looking for them. If they'll come by faith and repent and receive me, that's who I'm talking about here, Jesus said. And I'm asking us that have put our faith and trust in Christ, do we care like Jesus cared for the lost? Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers known to humanity, lived in the 1800s, wrote this, and I'm going to quote for him and wrap it up. I'm going to quote from Charles Spurgeon. It goes along with my question that I just asked. Do we care? It's quite obvious these Pharisees and scribes didn't care a lick about sinners. Charles Spurgeon said this, and I quote, for a moment, I beseech you, contemplate that which causes horror to every tender heart. Behold, I pray you, a lost soul, lost beyond all hope of restitution. Heaven's gates have been shut upon the sanctified, and the redeemed are there, but that soul, not among them. For it passed, that soul passed out of this world without having washed its robes in Jesus' blood. My child shut out of heaven, he writes. My husband absent from the streets of the blessed. My sisters, my brothers, not in glory. When the Lord counts up his chosen, my dear companions, outside the jeweled battlements of the New Jerusalem, oh God, it is a heart-breaking sorrow to even think of this. Can you bear, he writes, to think for a moment of the perdition of your own flesh and blood? Does not your spirit flinch and draw back with horror at the idea of one of your family being lost? Yet, as a matter of stern fact, you know that some of them will be lost if they die as they are now living. At God's right hand, they cannot stand unless they be made new creatures in Christ Jesus. You know that. Do not try to forget it. And then he concludes with this, have we done all that is possible for us to do for the unconverted around us? Let it be said by each one here, if a soul perishes, I at least will have done all in my power to reclaim it. End quote. Come on in, kids. And I know the skeptics and I know the persons that don't want to be involved in the kingdom building work would say, well, that's for God to do. I got no part in that. And I would simply say to that thought, God has breathed into humanity his church. And the church was born to tell others the good news. Amen? So let us not wash our hands of responsibility to love others into the kingdom. Let us not wash our hands of responsibility and say, well, that's your job, preacher man. Let us heed the words of Spurgeon and the words of Jesus. Have we done all that we can for our family, our coworkers, our neighbors, to try to reclaim that soul for Jesus. And if the answer is no, I don't think I have, then it's time to have the heart of Jesus, looking for the one that's lost. Praise team, where's the rest of you? Come on. Now, as we sing this song, I want us to think one of two things. Number one, is my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Because I have repented of my sin, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and received Him by faith, and have committed to follow Jesus. Thought number one, am I that lost one that still needs to be found? And if that's the case today, then I want you to do something about that by faith. Whether you do it in the silence of while we're standing and singing this song, whether you come forward, there's lots of pastors here, plenty of people that can pray, or if you stay right where you're at and want to raise your hand, we'll come to you. If you are still in that category, God is speaking to your heart today. Do something about it today before it's eternally too late. And if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, then I'm asking you, will you follow Jesus to the point of loving people like Jesus loved them and telling them the good news? Let's stand together and sing this song to close. And if you want to pray with one of us, you either come forward or raise your hand. We'll come to you. If it's time for you to get right with God, then stop delaying. Get right with God through faith in His Son today. Praise team, let's sing.
There's a peace I've come to know. Though my heart and flesh may fail, there's an anchor for my soul. I can say, it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead. Now we will rise when He calls.
Friends, I want you to know that God loves you. And I just sense that there's plenty of those that Jesus is still looking for. Some of them are in churches. And if you're here today, and that's you, I'm asking you to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit who's knocking on your heart's door today. This is not about denominations. This is not about being religious. This is about being born into the kingdom of God through faith in the Son of God, repenting of our sin, and receiving by faith Jesus Christ and committing to walk with Him. We're not ready for heaven if we haven't done it. And if you walk out of here today and that happens to be it, it's too late. It's too late then to change your mind and say, I should have got right with God. It's too late. And so if you're here today, friends, I'm going to ask us all to bow our heads, close our eyes, all of us, bow our heads and close our eyes. And if you're here today and you know God is still looking for you, you slip your hand up, and so I can lead us in a prayer by faith to repent of sin, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him. If God is still looking for you, you're going to hear His voice. You're going to feel His tug at your heart. I'm urging you, friends, listen to God's voice and surrender. Repent of sin. Believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ before it's eternally too late. God, our Father, thank You for Your great love for us. And while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thank You, Father, for Your heart and the heart of Your Son, Jesus, that was illustrated in this simple little parable. Willing to look, willing to search, willing to go to hell and beyond to snatch people from an eternity apart from You. Our obligation is simply repent and come by faith to Jesus Christ as Lord. And I pray, Heavenly Father, today, if there's anybody here that is still putting their faith in good works or church membership or something else, that they would turn to You and cry out to You and say, Father, forgive me. I've been doing things on my own. I believe You sent Jesus for me. Come into my life. Come into my heart. Take over. I surrender to You, Lord Jesus. I pray, O God, that that would not only happen in this gathering, but would happen around America and the globe millions of times over. People would come to You by faith, and another sheep would be celebrated in heaven. Another person would be celebrated, and there would be great rejoicing in heaven because another has repented and come to Christ. May it be so in this town, in this gathering, and in gatherings in towns all across America and the globe, to the glory of God. Go with us, Father, this day, convicted. We need to love like Jesus loved, and convinced we want to follow Jesus. Go with us, Lord, with that conviction, and help us to be sheep of Your pasture. I pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.